Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Friday to you, wherever you are. I am in Southern California. It is great to be here. Very, very good show to end the week. Let's get this thing going. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. How's everybody doing? What's going on? How you living? Nice to have you here. Today's all right, the Friday. Show sets up like this. It is Friday. It is Friday all day long. Tomorrow is Saturday. Yesterday was Thursday. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Go ahead, start dialing. Three interviews. They're going to set up like this. Coming up next segment, the head basketball coach at TCU, Jamie Dixon. Coming up in hour number two, an NBA reporter for SI, Ben Golliver. Third hour, Denver Broncos linebacker Bradley Chubb. You know that third hour is always busy, though. We've got the ATP. We've got Alvin's week that was. I'm going to bust out and go to the NFL on CBS in New York on Sunday. So it's getaway weekend. Lots to get done. Come strong. Go into the weekend strong. Feel good about that Friday afternoon. All right. Jamie Dixon, Ben Golliver, Bradley Chubb. Telephone lines are wide open. Hit me up on Twitter. Also, shoot us an email, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Starting with Thursday Night Football. Hyped up on that game last night. Panthers v. Steelers. Hyped up because you had two of the hottest teams in the NFL. One team on a three-game winning streak. One team on a four-game winning streak. If ever there was a Thursday night game that felt like, I don't know, a Sunday night game, it was last night's game until it started. And then it ended in a hurry. All that buzz coming into that game was about the Panthers' offense and about how Norv Turner had completely transformed it. About how Norv and his kid were the best things that ever happened to Cam Newton. And early on, that buzz did appear to be justified. Norval might not be the greatest head coach ever, but my man can dial up an offense. And the Panthers rolled into Pittsburgh last night with Cam Newton playing at an MVP level, Christian McCaffrey looking like Stanford Christian McCaffrey. So what happens? They go right down the field in their opening drive. In Pittsburgh's house, in prime time, Newton, McCaffrey, carve up the Steelers on a 75-yard TD drive, capped off by a 20-yard TD pass from Newton to McCaffrey. 7-0 Panthers. It looked like it was going to be a very long night for Pittsburgh, but then it wasn't. The Steelers get the ball back, and they did this on their very first play from scrimmage.
Roethlisberger pump. Roethlisberger throws deep, near side, caught. Juju Smith-Schuster, 25-20, racing to the end zone. Touchdown, one play, 75-yard bomb.
7-7, Westwood won. 7-7, now we've got ourselves a ball game. No, we don't, because this was the very next play.
New play action, look out. Newton nearly sacked in the end zone, throws it, intercepted.
Over
the middle, caught at the 10, into the end zone. Touchdown. Uh-oh. Vince Williams, and what a turn of events in Pittsburgh.
14-7 Steelers, 13 seconds, 14 points, game changed, game ended. Carolina got the ball back. They managed to move a total of 1 yard. They punted. Pittsburgh drives 61 yards, and they end the drive with this.
Connor up the middle, powers his way in. Touchdown, Steelers. James Connor bulldozes to the end zone.
21-7 Steelers. We're still in the first quarter. Ball game. Thanks for coming, because it did not get much better for the Panthers. In fact, it got worse. Much, much worse. Every single time Cam Newton dropped back, somebody in all black was up in his face or his chest. Every time Ben Roethlisberger dropped back, he found somebody. 22 of 25, 328 yards, 5 TDs, and a perfect passer rating. You want more? Try this.
Ben, first and 10, shotgun snap. He's back, throws along down the sideline, and the pass is caught against Antonio Brown, stepping into the end zone for the Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown. He just blew by the corner, and Jackson did not have a chance.
Steelers radio on the call. Antonio Brown for 6, and no, I'm not going to make some lame joke about him speeding on the roads and on the field. The guy was allegedly pulled over for driving 100 earlier in the day. So there's nothing funny about reckless speeding and endangering yourself and others. But that was not a distraction, because nothing was going to distract the Steelers last night. Not players speeding, not players who weren't there. They were locked in on Carolina. As Steelers offensive guard Ramon Foster said, quote, "That team wanted to come in here and embarrass us. We just answered the call," end quote. Actually, they did more than answer the call. They ripped the phone off the wall and they smashed Carolina in the face with it. It was such a dominant performance. The Steelers were all but apologizing for it. Mike Tomlin said, quote, "We are probably not that good." Marquise Pouncey said, quote, "This is not normal." I mean, it was so good and so dominant that even some cat on Twitter was posting, quote, "Juju is so special, man. James, go crazy then. And I think it's safe to say it's time to pass the sticks." Oh yeah, that guy, that rando, the all-pro running back who's good for nearly 2,000 yards per season, who is not on the team right now. Yeah, I don't know who's more tired of talking about him, his teammates or me. Called a tie for last. Just like I don't know if he was genuinely hyping his guys or if he just wanted to keep his name on everybody's minds. But I know this. Nobody who watched that game last night thought the offense really missed him, because it doesn't. Now, don't get me wrong. They'll take Le'Veon Bell back. And if Connor is in concussion protocol, then it becomes even more serious. But they did not miss him last night. They did not miss him the previous month. Not when they were ripping off five straight and beating down legitimate playoff teams by 31. That game was such a blowout. The Steelers cracked a half a hundred early in the fourth. They could have gone for 60 or even 70. They ripped the hearts out of Carolina, and then they rested for the final 15 minutes. I mean, that was such a beatdown, such a blowout. Eric Reed's ejection was an afterthought. Didn't even matter. So come to find out, the Steelers season did not end after 4 weeks. Mike Tomlin has not lost that team. If anything else, he's as sharp as he's ever been. And as usual, Pittsburgh is right where they always are, playing their best football when it matters most and headed back to the postseason once again. And they've got every bit as much right to the AFC as the Chiefs and the Patriots do too. In other words, same as they ever were. Nothing has changed. 1-800-636-8686. Can't say that I saw that coming. Cannot say that I saw that coming. Can't say that anybody saw that coming. Except for one guy. The last guy that you would think would see something like that coming. There's nobody anywhere who saw that beatdown coming. Except for one guy. The biggest cooler ever. He saw it. He called it. 1-800-636-8686. I've got that part of that story coming up a little bit later on. My man, Trevor Price is back. Checking out the early email. Rome, I thought that would have been a much closer game. Pittsburgh won that game with great play in all three phases. Who needs Bell with all the weapons they have on offense already? And their offensive line is protecting Ben Roethlisberger very well. If their defense can pressure Tom Brady like they pressured Cam Newton tonight, they've got a shot to beat New England. Wait, what? Is there a punchline in there? You don't want to call anybody ugly? You don't want to say somebody's a bum? That's a straight TNF take. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I just spent like 9 minutes saying the same thing. You're right, though. You're absolutely right. That offensive line for the Steelers does not get nearly enough credit. In fact, looking at them right now, I don't think there's a better offensive line in the NFL than Pittsburgh. And when Ben gets that kind of time with the weapons he has, he's going to do some real damage the way he has the last five games. When they're getting after the quarterback the way they did Cam Newton last night, they're going to create a lot of problems. What I'm saying is, same as they ever were. They look great. Wasn't Ben going to retire 2 years ago? Didn't Ben try to retire 2 years ago? Wasn't he going to? Sure he wasn't. Looking at Ben right now, much like Drew Brees and Tom Brady, this guy can do it as long as he wants. He's lost nothing. Hey, Rome, you're right. The Steelers really carved up the Panthers last night. That makes two of us. Yours, Norv T's face. Aaron in Omaha. That's the kind of imbecility that I was talking about. Wore a winter wonderland in Lincoln, Nebraska. Capped off with a frost-tastic dub. Yeah, thanks, Aaron. You can take the rest of the day off. I don't really want to talk about Norv's face. Now, if you want to talk about Norv Turner and what he's done for Cam, we can do that. If you want to talk about Norv and his son and what they both have done for Cam Newton, we can do that. Because coming into that game, we were led to believe, and I admit I bought it myself. It's only one game. It's a really bad game, but it's just one game. These guys had worked wonders for Cam Newton. But when you get the kind of push that Pittsburgh did from the front seven, it doesn't matter who your coordinator is or who his son is. Cam's not making any plays on his back. Hey, Rome. Wow. The Steelers showed us that we have a lot of holes that need to be fixed. Sign Norv. I don't get that, Lee. Chris no longer in St. Pete tweets, Norv's offense melted down last night like the one time his face melted while on spring break. Don't really understand that either. Norv Turner is one of the most well-respected offensive coaches in the NFL. When I think of him, I think of that. When I think of him, I think of a guy who was kind of an average head coach, mediocre head coach. Not everybody's cut out to be a head coach, but this guy's an amazing coordinator. So what the hell are y'all talking about? Jeff and Raleigh, TGIFF Van Smack. The grind includes Flight Deck Friday. Let's get it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Let me tell you about the Flight Deck. My man had a tough night. I don't know if you've been following on social. There was yet another Twitter purge. What Twitter's trying to do is get rid of all the bots and fake followers. So there's been a couple of purges where, you know, people are obsessed with their follower accounts. And then all of a sudden you wake up and you look at it, you're like, wait, what? What? Last night I had, you know, whoever you may be. Wow, last night I had 3,484 followers, and now I've got 2,900. What happened? Yeah, well, do me a favor. Just leave Flight Deck Friday alone, because my man lost 3 followers in the purge last night. 3. He started the night with 183. Now he's down to 180. That is a very bitter pill to have to swallow on a Friday. Get off my man's back, Jeff. 3. Bro, you better get after it. You got to get them back. You got to get those 3 back. What I would do, Flight Deck, if I were you, is take your phone, point it at your head, hit click, and push it out there, and then pin it. Dude, those 3 losses will be 5 gained, I promise. Pete in Kalamazoo tweets, Ben did retire 2 years ago. Son, Jennifer Gardner. You know, I've got a really good sports talk show with really good takes, really good interviews, and really, really crappy tweets from you. Do better. Do freaking better. No tweets about Norv Turner. No tweets from Jennifer Garner. Meantime, other matchups in the NFL. You've got the Patriots and the Patriots South. New England and Tennessee. Malcolm Butler, the Hood Man. We'll get into that. In the NBA, we're 10 games into the Houston Rockets season, so I think now would be a pretty good time to have a conversation. It's a small sample, but it's not that small of a sample. I want to talk about them, how crappy they are offensively, and we got to have a talk about Melo. I let that go as long as I possibly could about Melo. There's really no sport in cracking back on Melo. Except you saw what happened last night when he went back for one of those so-called revenge games against OKC. Other NBA news. In case you haven't noticed, NBA teams are slowly rolling out their city jerseys. Some of them are awesome. Some of them look great. And some of them look like the Cavaliers. Twitter was not happy to see that. That's coming up. College football. Ooh, I got to get out. Sorry about that. Alvin, I was feeling it. Alvin said, dude, Jamie Dixon. You're right. Jamie Dixon next. Building pros, check this out. If you're a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, Lumber Liquidators Pro Plus is the only partner you need for all your flooring needs. With special pro-only pricing, dedicated support, LL Pro Plus will help you get all your flooring jobs done quickly and profitably. Isn't that the thing? Are you worried about selection and availability? That's another thing, but you don't need to be because Lumber Liquidators has over 150 million square feet. $150 million available, and they've got over 100,000 square feet in stock at most of their stores. Plus, they stock professional-grade adhesives, underlayment, molding, tools, fasteners, grout, so you can get what you need. If you're too busy to pick up your product, not a problem. The LL Pro Plus team will deliver it right to your job. And with LL Pro Plus, you can even get a business line of credit. So put the LL Pro Plus flooring experts on your team right now. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Great to have you on a Friday. Let's talk some college basketball. We're joined right now by the head coach at TCU. He's entering his third season with the Horned Frogs, a recipient of four National Coach of the Year awards. He led TCU to the NCAA tournament last season, and that's the first time that program has gone in 20 years. He has led TCU to 20-win seasons in each of his first 2 years, the first time the school's had back-to-back 20-win seasons in nearly two decades. TCU is 1-0. They're number 20 in the AP poll, and they are hosting Oral Roberts on Sunday. Jamie Dixon is my guest. Jamie, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Oh, doing great, Jim. How you doing?
Doing great. Jamie, great to hear your voice. You're coming off a win over Cal State Bakersfield on Wednesday, 66-61. Seems like you've got a lot of new guys on the roster. Two of your key players didn't play. So what did you learn about the team in that first game?
I'm looking forward to game number two. That's how we're looking at it, getting a couple good practices in. It's been an interesting year with we had three guys that had played college basketball on the floor on Wednesday or Tuesday, I should say. But we're going to get better. I'm excited about it, and it's a young crew, but it's going to be a good team, and we'll be playing our best basketball as the year progresses.
Jamie Dixon, my guest. Jamie, I had Eric Musselman on the show the other day, and he talked about how tough October can be for a head coach and a program because it's a long grind of just your guys versus your guys. How good then did it feel to finally get that season underway and face somebody in a different uniform?
It was good. I mean, we've had an injury off season because of the injuries and different guys out, and I almost feel like this is a later start for us as far as practice time, because we're starting to get some new guys back, and again, the new guys learning our stuff, competing, all the things that go with it. It has been it's been a different year for me because I've never had these many new guys, eight new guys who have never played a game of college basketball among our 13 scholarship guys. So there's some challenges.
I mean, Jamie, it's really unusual. So you're in a situation where you've never been before, and at the same time, you've got expectations. You're now a top 20 team. You know you're going to get everybody's best shot, and you're dealing with guys who haven't even played college ball before. How are you dealing with those expectations as it relates to your players?
Well, we've tried to deal with it early. I mean, I talked about, this ranking and these expectations are, these guys have really not accomplished anything at this level. And we tried to get that out there early, but sometimes you just got to go through it. And that's kind of what we're going through. So our scrimmages were good, but not great. And we weren't great the other day, but we played hard. Our execution will be better on Sunday. I believe that. So it's sometimes you can tell them, you can give them stories, you can show them film, but they just got to go through it and learn from mistakes. And we did that on Wednesday, and I think the progress will be in these next couple days.
TCU head basketball coach Jamie Dixon is my guest. So you're developing a culture and a mindset. As part of that, you've got the Big Tough Frog Award that you give out. What is that award all about, and what's the mindset you're looking to create with it?
Well, we wanted to get tougher. We wanted to get better defensively. We had to. Last year, we were as good as anybody in the country offensively. Our efficiency numbers were in the top five of the 351 schools, but our defense was not where we needed to be. So we've created a stat system, a point system, whereby we're rewarding those guys that do the little things on the defensive end, that make the tough plays, the plays that don't show up, whether it be the contesting shots, whether it be the blockouts, setting the screen, but just keeping it accountable and a numbered system. So you can't argue with the numbers, and so that's what we put across. And UI was our junior college transfer, was our award winner the other day. So I think it's something that's going to help us as we go forward, because it's what we need to get better at, and the little things on the defensive end especially.
Jamie Dixon joining us once again. So senior guard Alex Robinson, Jamie, was talking about how there was a time before you arrived where he could walk around on campus and nobody would recognize him, but that's all changed. Season tickets are sold out. The Frog Army is loud. You're ranked in the top 20, and there's a lot of buzz. I understand that you have challenges. I understand you're focused on the season. But as a TCU alum, what's it mean to you to see that kind of change on campus and that new atmosphere?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, we're sold out. The students were tremendous the other day. I wish we would have played better for them, but they'll be back on Sunday. And it does. There's more to it when you come back. I mean, I think some people questioned why would leave the success we had at Pitt, but I just felt that TCU could be a great place for basketball. Obviously, Gary had a great success in football, and I just felt that the things were in place, and I wanted to be the guy that helped bring it back. We had a good run when I was here a long time ago as a player, but it was short-lived, and we had two good years. But I want to build a program and that our university can be proud of, and that seems to be what's going on. So nationally, we're getting some recognition, and we're big out in California, which has been really fun to see now. And we're just looking forward to just keep building and drawing fans throughout the country, especially out west.
Now, I know you're big out here. A lot of the kids, and I've got a senior now in high school, Jamie, and a lot of the kids want to go to TCU.
Yeah,
and
I know. When I went out here 30 years ago, it was no one knew where TCU was, and now it's a place to go from California. So it's exciting.
Jamie Dixon, my guest for a few more moments. You know, it's one thing to say that you want to go back there and build something. I think what's worth noting is you didn't go to TCU or come back and say, I've got a five-year plan to get us back to the tournament, or I'm going to need some time to get this thing turned around. You expected to be in the tournament much faster than that. So why did you take that approach, as many coaches would have come in to try to lower expectations?
Yeah, I know. That's kind of been the way people do it, and maybe that's the right way. But we had a unique situation. We had four seniors that were back, and they had gone through tough times. They had an 0-18 year. They had a 1-17 year in conference. They had a lot of injuries. They had a reconstruction of the arena. They were playing at a community center down the road. They just had been through a lot, and I just didn't feel like we could sell them short in their senior year. I wanted them to have the best senior year they could possibly have, and they had committed to coming to TCU and building it, and it maybe took a little longer, but I just didn't want them to go away with feeling they hadn't done something. They'd done a lot, and those four guys were really what turned us around, and they sacrificed. They weren't our leading scorers, but they gave us everything they could, and some guys were starters that became reserves, and that was really why I didn't want to look to the future. I wanted to let those guys leave, and that's Chris Washburn, Brandon Parrish, and Vlad, and Alex Robinson was the other guy with that group, as well as Mike Williams. So it was those guys that we wanted to keep on board.
Jamie Dixon with us. One more thought. You know, at the same time, it's not like you're doing this in an easy conference. From Kansas and Kansas State, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Texas, Texas Tech, the list goes on. The Big 12 is loaded with tough teams and excellent coaches. Now, you were part of some of the legendary meat grinder schedules in the Big East. How does the Big 12 compare to those schedules in the Big East back in the day?
Well, the thing I love about our league is the 10 teams and the round robin, and everybody's playing the same schedule. Oftentimes, that was a big impact on the on who was winning conference, just by the schedule you played. So with this, you know you're going to get the true champion. But this thing that makes it different, too, here is there's no bad team in this conference. I always felt in the Big East and even the ACC, there was some times where there was a team that was rebuilding or going through some issues or just not quite to the level. But here, it's been every team. My first year, Texas and Oklahoma finished 9th and 10th. I mean, it gives you an idea how good this conference is. And I think that's why it's the best in the country and why it's become. The one thing holding us back from getting the recognition, even though the numbers have shown it, for the last 5 years, we've been by far the best. Is Kansas winning every year, and we've got someone else has got to win it for us to keep talking about how good this conference is. You can't have one team dominant and then talk about how strong it is top to bottom. So someone's got to win. They're good again. They're better than they were last year, but somehow we got to figure out a way.
TCU 1-0, they're number 20 in the AP poll, and they're at home against Oral Roberts on Sunday. Head coach Jamie Dixon, our guest. Jamie, so good to get caught up. Really appreciate that.
Great, Jim. Thanks so much.
Take care, Jamie. Do it again soon, I hope. Jamie Dixon, he's been coming on the show for a long, long time. Of course, he has UCSB roots. Didn't want to bring it up. But Jamie Dixon, part of a great coaching staff at UC Santa Barbara back in the day, he's had a great, great career. And he's got TCU in the top 20 already, way ahead of schedule. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so we're out quickly. So far, so good on a Friday. Phone call's coming up after this. You know, there's something to be said for being the best. You know, when you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition, elite athletes know you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong and stay strong, like Castrol Edge. It is the strongest full synthetic motor oil. It's engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power-robbing friction and to maximize engine performance. As an example, did you know friction can rob 10% of performance from your engine? Put another way, it'd be like you lining up across somebody who's at 100% and you're at 90. The other guy's going to win pretty much every single time. Castrol Edge is strong under pressure. It reduces friction so your engine can perform at its best and highest level. Not only strong, but even 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. And that's not my take. That's an actual test. The Kurt Orban test. The strength your engine needs to perform at its highest level and keep you living on the edge. Castrol Edge. Stronger.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Friday can mean one thing and one thing only. It's an Ask the Pros day. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question. Do not tweet it. Do not email it. Go to that address. CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so we're open now until the middle of next hour. Hey, Jim. Unfortunately, the Steelers dominated the foe. Regards, Ked Woodley.
Carolina Panthers with sharp teeth and claws. We growl to win this
Get
game.
Get it, Ked.
We call pro football.
Nice job, Ked. He's got that great beatbox, too, behind it. They got to bump that in their headphones before they hit the field. I know I would. I wonder if Christian McCaffrey's going with that in his headphones before he goes. He had a great game last night, but none of the others did. All right, so I mentioned, nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw that beatdown coming. Carolina had been playing so well on both sides of the ball. Pittsburgh was hot, but Carolina was playing really, really well. Nobody saw that coming except for maybe one person. The big question heading into last night's Thursday night matchup was not how the Panthers would deal on the road against a tough Steelers team on a short week. It sure as hell was not how Pittsburgh was going to handle a red-hot Carolina squad with all the Le'Veon Bell drama swirling around Heinz Field. I mean, these were all issues to a certain extent, but not as big of an issue as this. The biggest question going into last night's game was, will my RPO podcast co-host, Trevor Price, finally break his ice-cold 3.5-week, unprecedented, unthinkable 7-game losing streak of picking against the spread? He had missed 7 games in a row. Now, if you followed along to the RPO podcast or on this show the last month, then you know that Trevor Price has been on a cooler to end all coolers. 7 picks, 7 straight misses. It's like you're in a car wreck that you cannot look away from as one rig piles into another. And you have this giant pileup week after week after week. So when something like that goes down, even though it's our podcast, even though that's my co-host, it's not like I can ignore it, right? I've got to follow it. I've got to document it. And I did. So I've been playing back a montage of incorrect picks that keeps growing and growing and growing. Almost in that same vein as the self-glossers club. It just keeps growing. So the big question going to last night's matchup was, did the two-time Super Bowl champ and my co-host of the RPO podcast, Trevor Price, finally break his streak of seven wrong picks in a row? Only one way to find out. Alvy, roll the montage. Monday Night Football, 49ers in Green Bay. Who do you like here?
That's easy. I mean, I think a blind man can see that. Green Bay in a thumper. Easily, Green Bay covers.
A 27-yard field goal, right-footed kick to our right is up, and it is good! The Packers have come from behind to win it.
Denver is the road favorite here. They're giving a point and a half.
I think Arizona takes the win.
But that's the ball game. This one's over. Denver wins it 45-10 over Arizona.
The Giants plus four or the Falcons giving the four?
The Falcons plus four. I think the Falcons are going to cover.
That's
Falcons
three.
Falcons are winners. 23-20.
The Dolphins are 7-point road dogs against the Texans.
7 points is too much for this game either way. So I'll take Miami in the points.
The game is over. The Texans throttle the Dolphins 42-23.
Patriots at the Bills. Pats are giving 14 on the road.
I am picking Buffalo to cover.
Woo.
Yes, I'm picking them to cover.
And this one is over. And the Patriots win it by a score of 25-6.
Thursday Night Football. Raiders, Niners. Raiders getting 3 on the road.
Give me Oakland. At least they still have their starting quarterback. So therefore, I am going to take Oakland only because of that quarterback.
Very disappointed, Coach Gruden. 34-3. San Francisco wins it.
Titans getting 4.5 on the road in Dallas.
Dallas is going to cover, and I have scientific evidence. Mariota stinks, and I think Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper put on a show tonight. Dallas covered.
Final score, Tennessee 28, Dallas 14.
All right, Thursday Night Football, Panthers and the 5, or do the Steelers cover at home?
I do believe Pittsburgh is going to win this game. Are they going to win by 5 points? I believe Pittsburgh covers. Pittsburgh at home.
And that's the end of the game. Final score, Pittsburgh 52, Carolina 21.
He did it! He did it! Couldn't you hear it in his voice by the time he got to that 7th pick? He didn't have that same swagger, that same confidence. But he did it! Trevor did it!
We did it!
He actually picked a game correctly for the first time in nearly a month. I believe Gerald Ford spoke for all of us right now, or would, in saying that the national nightmare is now over.
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
He got one right. All you savages who have been all over Trevor on Twitter, why don't you reach for your phone and thumb out a tweet at Trevor_Price. Spell Price with a Y. Do it right now. Show him some love. He's earned it. Welcome back to the Winner's Circle TP. It's been a minute. 7-10-1. It's never looked so good. It's never felt so good. Go ahead, Trevor. Flip that bat into orbit. Style your jack job. Round the bases in slow motion. Go one flap down. Run it backwards. Run to third base first if you want. Soak it all in. Do a pirouette like Barry out of the batter's box. Because everyone that faded you last night now has empty pockets turned inside out to show for it. But not you, big dog. For the first time in a month, you've got the winning slip. So slide on a Super Bowl ring. In fact, slide two on. One to each middle finger and throw your digits high into the air, Trevor. You're back. You did it, and you're back. For now. For now. I did not set this up. Well, I mean, that recap I set up. See you at the party, Richter. I didn't set this up, but you knew my man would call in and take a little credit, a little victory lap. Let's find out how it feels.
Some credit, I mean, for real.
Since Trevor and I do this every single week on Mondays on the RPO, he usually does not come on this program, but here he is. Trevor, yes. You did it. You did it. How you feeling,
hey,
man?
Hey, listen. Hey, Rome, 60% of the time, I'm right every time. That's the way this works.
Is that the math? Is that the math on that?
That's the math. I mean, who doubted me? Why would you doubt me?
All right, well,
I'm right.
So you're 7-10-1. My math says you're more like 40% right 100% of the time.
Okay. But what have you done for me lately? And this is what I've done for you lately. I picked the Steelers, and I picked them by more than 5.
Congrats.
Look, you played a lottery enough times, you will win. I have won.
That squirrel will find a nut at some point. Trevor, that's got to feel so good. Except even in that pick, I could hear it in your voice. You weren't that confident, but you had to make a pick, and you did, and you got it. So now, are you going to go on a run now?
I was confident, Jim. I just had gas. Here comes the one. I am running right now. This is it. I am about to go on the heater of all heaters. No more cooling. No more half-stepping and half-guessing. I'm in my lab. I got one of those green visors on that accountants wear. I have one lamp, and I have a drawn-on mustache.
Everybody, speaking of everybody, how was everybody to you on Twitter when you were on that run, the bad run?
Oh, my God. I don't mind. The thing is this. You're a professional athlete, and you go out in the city, right? And you at dinner or whatever, and people are kind of like, "Hey, man, can you sign this, sign that." You're kind of looking for that thing that makes you feel human, and I found it in your some of them were vicious and viciously funny. There was one tweet that said, "I'll take the Titanic plus 5 against the iceberg." Love Trevor. That was
Trevor.
Pretty good.
Right.
One that was, "Hey, I like JFK outside in Dallas. He will get out of there alive. Love Trevor." I'm like, okay, you've gone a little bit too far. But the creativity and then all the creative ones, all the ones that made me laugh, I always retweeted and said something back. One of them said, "Dear Trevor, please don't pick us, Panthers and Steelers." I was like, okay, what do you mean us? You both of you, I can't pick either. What am I supposed to do?
They're the best.
It was pretty good. I will say they are a creative bunch, if nothing else. But guess who's laughing now?
Your
boy's laughing.
That's it. He's back. He's back. He's back. He's about to go on a run. All right, he has snapped the streak of clones. Since you hit him so hard on Twitter when he couldn't get anything right, now that he got one right, you should hit him back up. Trevor, nice job. Glad you got it done. I'm glad you're back. I will talk to you again on Monday. Well done.
Yes, sir.
Be good, man. Talk to you soon. TP. That's Trevor Price. He played 14 years in the NFL. He won a couple of rings, and now he's feeling good about himself. The reaction at Pauly T. Wall tweets, "Trevor has a good hit rate on his predictions. Yours, Miss Cleo." At Gambling Engineer tweets, "I saw that Steelers beatdown coming too. Signed a blind squirrel." At Apple Pasta tweets, "Dear Jim, I never stopped believing in Trevor Price. Signed Wiley Coyote." Listen, I got to admit, I didn't go on record with it, but if I had gone on record with it, I think I probably would have taken the Panthers and the points. They were playing really well on both sides of the ball. So when he made that pick, I was like, "Ooh, I don't know, Trevor. You may have another week of this, another week of abuse on Twitter." And then they fell behind 7-0, and my phone started blowing up again. I knew exactly who it was and what it was. Carolina goes right down the field on Pittsburgh to start that game. And then my phone's like, "It's Trevor, it's Trevor, it's Trevor." And Trevor's saying things I can't repeat on the air. But then he was feeling real good about himself when that thing turned, because it turned quickly. Rome, tell Trevor to stop picking. He'll have to live with those pock marks. All right. He's back. He got it done. And I feel like he might go on a run now. Trevor is now 7-10-1. About a little respect. You've all been annihilating him on Twitter. Give up a little respect. And all of you, I know why you're not. Because you faded him last night. You faded him and it cost you money. And that's why you're not giving him the respect that he earned. That's my partner. That's my co-host. That's Batman. I had his back all along.
Batman.
And Mike D for 3 tweets. "You and Trevor can do the math. I'll do the Alfredo. Thanks. Michael Moore Pasta."
on this never-ending pasta bowl? 42 different sauce and pasta combinations.
Oh, you do the math. I'm doing the Alfredo.
Out of Garden's never-ending pasta.
She kills me every time. Next hour, Ben Golliver. We start the second hour of the Wide Open. What do you want to talk about? 1-800-636-8686. Carmelo Anthony had a terrible game going back to OKC. Not exactly what he had in mind in terms of revenge. I'll hit that.